Okay, so Mike Pence says he expects China to change. And the Chinese hear that as, we'll work with you when pigs fly, because nobody in Chinese culture changes. And that's how skateboarding relates to politics. Now, we've got this upcoming war that's brewing. I don't know how I missed this. I'm kind of sorry. I don't know how I missed this. 3 weeks ago, we're talking about October 29, 30. I know it was reported in the newspapers, October 30 and 31. Right? This is November 19 that I'm recording this. It's going out later that week. This should be the Friday after November 19, 2018. When October 30 and 31, we're talking 3 weeks ago, it was reported that Xi Jinping had told the Chinese military, prepare for war. Now, some people have said prepare for the war. Chinese doesn't have that specificity of language. So prepare for war, prepare for the war. If you said prepare for the war in English, it would mean prepare for this war that we've already talked about, and you know which war I'm talking about and what we're going to do in it. That's what prepare for the war would mean. In Chinese, they don't have the simple one word inserted into the sentence to bring that meaning with it. So prepare for war, prepare for the war. I think prepare for the war is, it's what he means. Because we all know what the war is. The war is when China invades Taiwan. That's what the war is. Prepare for the war. Prepare for the war. China's been making noises more and more about how Taiwan is not an issue where China will back down. And Limbaugh has said it's a matter of pride, but like Americans don't even know what that means in the Chinese view. And I pretty much explained that yesterday. What I talked about yesterday, this hard-headed, hard-nosed unwillingness to change. Like telling someone, I expect you to change is like saying, I expect you to sprout wings and fly. Like it's almost an insult. Nobody does that. It's humanly impossible, after all, in a country that has only known peace through tyranny, unification through conquering your brothers, and only Bible in the last 150 years since Hudson Taylor showed up. When the Jesuits showed up, I do believe before that, it was even worse. It was really bad. In that culture that's not known Bible like we have, in the West, we had Bible crammed on our throats. I mean, it was in a lot of ways a bad thing how the Bible was abused. But we did have the Bible. China, they didn't even have the blessed benefit of being beat up and burned alive by the Bible. It was even worse than that in China. They had no, love your neighbor as yourself wasn't taught. And that's a weird idea. You and your Americans with your ideas, you give us these things to think about, and you say that I should love others the way they love me. What a weird thing to say. I mean, it sounds like you want me to look foolish. I mean, why would anyone think about loving other people the way you love yourself? I mean, I don't talk about loving myself. I mean, of course I love other people. Why would I have to talk about this? If I even think about this, that's bad. So I'm going to continue just doing what I want. And I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm powerful. And that's how I'm going to say it. If I even talk about loving others how I love myself, doing to others what I want them to do to me, if I even talk about that, I'm insulting myself. Of course I would do what's right and good, and everything I do is right and good. So I'm going to do whatever I can, whatever I have the power to do. That's what's right. Might is right. And that, of course, is the right thing. If I have the power to beat someone else up, I should do it. Of course that's right and good and virtuous. They really believe that if they say that, of course, it's right and virtuous because I did it, that that looks honorable because he's saying that he's honorable. Like, that's how they think. Now, other people will say, well, that's nonsense to some extent, but they all do this. And it's really, I mean, they'll complain about the other guy saying it, but they themselves will then say the same thing. And that's just, huh, look what he, and then I go do it. And then, oh, look what he, and then he goes and does it. So, that culture has stated that, you know, that culture in China will invade Taiwan if Taiwan declares independence or, let's say, does something such as become a member nation of the United Nations. If the United States has a little snafu with China, well, that could spark the war. Okay, so we've got that culture making threats about invasion, and it all comes down to Taiwan because in China's view, here's what's going on. The inside baseball, as it were. In China's view, Taiwan is to China what Hawaii is to the United States. A fun island with mountains or volcanoes or whatever to go relax on and surf? No. Absolute control of the Pacific. In China's view, they look at all these U.S. military naval bases around their country, and they think America's trying to strangle them. Because China's whole view is to dominate or be dominated. It's not about providing stability so that countries don't attack each other. It's not about that. The only reason you have your military base there is to try to strangle me. And just by looking at, you've got military bases in Japan, you've got them in Okinawa, you've got them in South Korea, you've got them in Taiwan, you've got them in the Philippines. Now we're talking about putting a U.S. Australia base in Papua New Guinea, which was a former Australian colony. I mean, we've got a military presence all over the place, and China's looking at this and they're going, huh, now, I'm going to give you the number. It's about 180 military bases around China. Now, where I get that number from is my Western friend who's doing business in China. And since he's gone there, he's kind of fallen in love with China and been converted because he never heard the other side of the story before. Him coming over to Asia to learn Mandarin and get international experience was the first time he ever heard anything that anyone had to say. See, me, I'm not like that. I was at home, I was in America. I was always trying to listen to the other guy. I was always trying to understand what other people think about stuff. Always. He hadn't done that. He'd only heard anti-China news in the West, comes over here, and it's not 100% exactly how the newspaper misrepresents China. So then immediately then, China must be all right. Don't people do that when they have culture shock the first time? This is my problem with pastors. So many pastors, I said this about how to win debates. The most important thing in winning a debate is you have to give the right reasons why the right answer is the right answer. I mean, one, it helps to be right. Three, it's third in the list, it helps to believe that the truth can be known. A lot of people go into a debate believing that they can't ever know what the truth is. I mean, if you don't know what the truth is, what's the point in arguing about it? If you really believe that you can arrive at a conclusion, then you're more likely to arrive at one. And other people are more likely to believe you. But if you believe that this is all just rhetoric and that the debating is just a bunch of, you know, chit-chat that doesn't mean anything, then you're not going to be very persuasive in your debate. You've got to actually believe in your heart, truly believe, tell God after you die and you go to heaven or hell based on your answer, but this is the truth and you believe that the truth can be known and figured out by us. If you really believe that, you're going to do much better in a debate. But if you believe this is just about me versus you and let's persuade people with our style, and it's not what you say, it's how you say it, if that's what you believe, you're not going to be very persuasive in a debate. And all these people that are obsessed with style, who is this little Marco Rubio and Jeb, they were the ones that lost against Trump because they were all about, this isn't how to talk. This isn't how to be a president. They're talking about style and tone of voice. Tone of voice matters in politics. Well, they lost and Trump won. So, you know, you're not going to persuade people in a debate if you think style is more important than the belief that we can know the truth. But as part of that, you've got to have the real reasons why the right answer is the right answer. You can defend the wrong answer as long as you know that it's the wrong answer and you know the real reasons why the right answer that you're not defending is the right answer. If you know that, you can defend the wrong answer and win. But if you're wrong and you don't know it, well, good luck. Unless the other guy is right, but doesn't know the real reasons why. And most pastors for decades were teaching the right answers, but not the right, fully real right reasons why the right answers were the right answers. So all these kids grew up hearing the wrong reasons for the right thinking, and they left, went to college, and all these liberal professors gave them these blue pill moments, you know, red pill, blue pill, as in Matrix. We're not talking about red, blue Democrats, Republican stuff. So they had all these blue pills. This is what the walkaway movement calls. I'm using walkaway movement talk here. If you don't know, they had all these blue pill moments with their professors because they were given new reasons for having an opinion about politics. And it was stuff that their pastors and their parents had never told them before. And that's what created it all. See, I grew up with liberal teachers in high school. And I heard what they had to say. But I didn't go and vote Democrat because of it. And I had parents teaching me conservative stuff. The thing was, my father made sure I knew the reasons why. He took me with him when he went to the committee meetings. I sat on a committee and voted on my own textbooks in high school. You know, forget this fake puppet student government nonsense. I was a student in actual government. The committee was governed by the Michigan Open Meetings Act. So I actually saw the real reasons at work. And so I'd hear this stuff, you know, Rob Bell. I was listening to Rob Bell. I probably listened to more Rob Bell than a lot of people did, but I kept believing my Bible. The other people stopped believing in their Bible by listening to Rob Bell right up the street from me. Rob Bell, emergent church movement stuff. It's something to search. I kind of like what Don Carson had to say about it. If you're interested in searching some stuff, Don Carson. In fact, I've actually written Don Carson once and heard back from him. Very nice man. He said he didn't have time to talk to me because he'd be chasing foxes. And frankly, he was right. But he took the time to tell me that very kindly. But I actually have friends who know Don Carson. Don Carson is like that cousin in my family that I never met. But I had a letter exchange with him once. Don Carson, very, very good theologian. And his criticism was that many Christian leaders have a lot to learn about this emergent church thing because they dropped the ball and these emergent church guys came along and did a better job of the basic leadership than they had been doing. And there's a lot to learn about that. And that was his point, which was what my point was. Only he used bigger theological words than I did when I addressed it. All right. So my buddy grew up with propaganda about why China was bad from the West. He didn't really understand real reasons. He didn't understand the other perspective. It was propaganda, which is what most of Sunday morning teaching is. It's propaganda. It's not educating people to think independently and critically to understand why the Bible is a good book. I challenge you to tell me why the Bible is a good book. I believe it's a good book, but do you know why? So he comes over here to Asia and never having heard the other perspective, only having been fed propaganda, he immediately, he actually told me, there will be no World War III. We have kind of a friendly little bet between us. He really truly believes that there will be no World War III because we will do more and more business with other countries, and that by doing business and trade, all countries will get along and there will be no more war. No more. Like, we've seen the last of it. The world is so healed and wonderful to a point that we have seen the last war and there will be no World War III. I said, you're not the first person to say that. The founding fathers of the United States Constitution, the founding fathers of the United States, the people that drafted the Constitution, they believed the same thing, including Thomas Jefferson, until he went and talked with the Muslims, who said, no, you're infidels who need to be burned alive, and we will fight to kill all of you. Well, I don't know if he said burned alive, but, it certainly includes it. He said, you're all infidels, you're wrong, and we'll keep fighting you. Because he said, hey, you know, Thomas Jefferson was like, can't we do, like, business, and then your ships are going to stop raiding ours on the high seas? And he says, why would we do that? You're infidels, you should all die. We're going to fight you until you're all dead, because you're infidels. Thomas Jefferson came home to America and said, we need a standing navy. So, my buddy never considered that maybe history already tried his idea. That trying to do business with people more and more wasn't going to work. He won't change. He won't listen. He runs out into the world for the first time. Here's the other guy's perspective, when he's in his mid-30s for the first time in his life. And now he knows everything. And all the rest of us are all idiots. He's going to have to learn the hard way. He's not learning through wisdom. He's not learning through the word. He's learning through the rod. So we'll see how that works. But see, he's caught up in this China idea. That China's so wonderful, and they're just lied about. It's all propaganda. I grew up with that anti-China propaganda and came over here and found out that it really is wonderful. And so he knows their perspective, which is China has 180 U.S. military bases all around them. They can't breathe. They're suffocating. America's trying to attack, because that's the only reason for doing that, right? You don't put out police posts. I mean, when you're Chinese, you don't put police stations all around to just keep the normal peace. No, you do that so you can go attack and beat the people when you need to. The purpose of all that policing is to attack, because that's what they do to each other all the time. And that's the question in that shame culture that thinks change is every bit as impossible as hell freezing over. It's basically saying, I expect you to change, is saying, I expect hell to freeze over before I like you again. That's how that comes across. I mean, if you say that, that's what you must mean, because you just don't say that in that culture. China's finally wakes up and gets some surveillance technology and ability to go outside of their own shores, and they see all these bases more and more, and they're freaking out. They're having mental breakdown in China. This dominate or be dominated, nobody can ever change culture, will not learn or change culture, is seeing more and more military bases, and it's causing them to break down. They're going loopy. It's mental. And I think smart people in America's government, I'm not going to try to guess what departments, and I'm not even trying to imply it's, something or other, something with an I in the middle of their TLA initials. I don't even mean that much, but there are smart people in America's government that know this. And so now Pence comes out and uses the C word. We expect China to, when hell freezes over, change. And then, oh, and by the way, we're working with Australia to make another military base near China. That's going on. And I think smart people in America's government know that it's going on, and they're doing it because a government with a society and culture that's mentally capable of doing this, America's government believes that's dangerous. They could fly off the deep end. I mean, Giuliani said in the debates when he was running for president in the primaries, he said, we need the Second Amendment. Second Amendment's great, except of course for some special situations like criminals and mental patients. And people kind of booed. He goes, no. You know what I mean? Like, he was interacting with the audience that way. I think people kind of liked him for that, even if they disagreed with him. But, you know, Second Amendment is not intended to allow mental patients to carry guns around and point them at people, okay? You don't let mental patients have nukes. That's the Bernie Sanders supporter argument against, you know, trying to, you know, get Trump certified insane, which they know better. They know he's not crazy unless they're going crazy. But people are, this is the thing, like, if China's capable of going crazy like this, they shouldn't have the power that they do. And I think people inside America's government know this, and they're provoking China by pushing them to go over the deep end sooner. And when they go loopy, China's going to make miscalculations, and they're going to become the angry mad bull whose frontal lobe isn't thinking, the sentiency isn't working, and it's all autopilot, and you just put the blanket in front of him, and he'll chase wherever you put it, and you're in full control. And that's what America's government is trying to do to China. The best thing China could see, I don't want to give China advice. My advice to China would be to try to get a learning curve where they're smarter than this and they aren't bothered by someone putting military bases all around them. But the Chinese would only hear me saying, I want you to change, which means I want pigs to fly, which means that's impossible, you idiot, I hate you anyway. And if I were to suggest that they not be bothered by 180 military bases around them, they would think that I'm working for CIA trying to spread propaganda. And, of course, the real argument for me working for CIA is because I say CIA instead of the CIA, because I talk how the intel community actually talks, because I am a writer and I know how language is used and I want to use it correctly. But, you know, like, I've had people over here ask me if I'm CIA. I'm like, if I was CIA, you wouldn't suspect me of being CIA. I mean, CIA is not stupid. But no, if I was CIA, I'd probably already have a for-profit website because I'd be pulling the strings like some CIA people in media do. But okay, anyhow, but this is a thing. Like, Jesse gets accused of being CIA. No, I'm sorry. If I was CIA, I would have had if I was CIA, I would have a lot more money in Asia than I do, because I would have had the ability to fake IDs and stuff. And no, my life is very not CIA. I have God looking after me in heaven because I pray. And that's why I'm not worried about these things. Okay, so here I actually talked myself into getting to this CIA thing. Look, if I were to say to China that they should change and not be bothered by military bases being around them, they would think that I'm CIA spreading propaganda, just trying to convince them of something. I'm trying to get them. I'm trying to sell them my ideas. You know, that's what they would think. So I can't give China advice. The only way thing China could do would be to change. And that's not an option in that culture. I've been there 10 years. It's really amazing. I had that, you know, that pastor in Hong Kong, I talked about this. The senior pastor looked at me. I told him the nonsense that was going on with the pastors that I know here in Taiwan, the two biggest churches in Tainan. And he, it's like he really believed I was lying to him, or like I was hallucinating it. And it's like, he says, like I said, this happened. He goes, that wouldn't happen. It happened a different way. I mean, that just makes sense. And I'm like, I'm thinking, so I didn't see what I saw because you can't believe that I did? But what I said was, you really want to have a conversation in Asia about what makes sense? And, I mean, he was an American pastor in Hong Kong, and so he knows that that conversation is not going to go anywhere. I had that conversation with my Pizza Hut boss, Derek, my buddy. I asked him a question. I said, where does this go? He goes, it goes here. And he was having an irritated day. He says, doesn't that just make sense? Doesn't that just make sense? And I looked at him, and after all of our conversations and late night, you know, talks and movies and difficulty with the franchise and all that stuff, I said, yeah, I mean, he's going, that doesn't that just make sense? I said, do you really want to have a conversation about what makes sense? He goes, okay, no. I said, I'm not trying to be, no, you're right. Just go away. Okay. All right. I don't want to know the right way to do it. I want to know the Pizza Hut way to do it. There's the right way, the wrong way, and the Pizza Hut way. And we do it the Pizza Hut way. So I'm not assuming anything. I want to know the Pizza Hut way to do it. Yeah, we're not allowed to expect people entrenched in the Chinese Asian culture to do what makes sense. We're not allowed to suggest that. Now, typically, what makes sense when your enemy is plotting an attack against you, what makes sense? It's the McDonald's crisis management flow. I had a McDonald's manager explain it to me. Don't panic. You know, if you find out that the local community has lost serious trust in your local McDonald's thing, as the manager, here's what you do. One, don't panic. He explained it to me anyway, not official. Don't panic. Do research to find out more information about the problem, and make immediate positive changes. Make immediate improvements. Don't panic. Do research to find out more. Make immediate good changes. Well, in this culture that I described, don't panic isn't an option. Do research to learn something that you didn't know before? Well, they don't really do that. They just pretend to, because it's all about cramming for the test, which has already been written, not learning something new. I mean, in a zero-sum game, a communist country, this Chinese ingrained culture that I described, this very specific thing I've described, technology is a commodity. We're not going to just discover more and more. The only way for China to get more technology is to take that away from America that only has technology because a meteor fell out of the sky and bestowed it upon them. See, America didn't earn that technology by changing and doing smart things, because changing isn't humanly possible, right? So China knows that America has all that technology because they stole it from someone else, or they got lucky, and it's time for China to get their share of this thing that can't increase. So when China says increase technology, it means America's technology has to decrease, because there's only so much technology knowledge to go around, right? So doing research, well, we're not going to learn anything new. All we're going to do is this research thing, which it means that we read papers and we pretend that we're learning something. Silly idea. But we're supposed to pretend it, that we're doing it, and put on the show, right? You know, okay, so that's number two, do research. Three, make positive improvements, make positive changes. Well, positive improvements is redundant. Make changes of any kind? Yeah, right. I don't think China has a way out of this war machine. I don't think they have a way out. China is absolutely paranoid. America's coming in hyper calm. Oh, yes. I mean, China sees America as utterly calm as the marching robots in Will Smith's movie iRobot. So calm. You have been deemed hazardous. Will you comply? You know, while my hand is on your throat. That's how China views this. Because the only reason for having police stations is to come out and beat the people. Because that's what they do with their police stations, right? Oh, and you better not say that in the newspapers. Because that's the wrong propaganda. We're supposed to tell different lies to the people, right? Because there is no such thing as reporting. It's only propaganda. So all newspapers in the West are only propaganda, right? And to some extent, that's true. But this is the perspective. China can't not invade Taiwan. No way. No way. That's the Taiwan special for the week. Well, this was a 30-minute one. Congratulations. Yay.